Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. I am Andrea Daniel, and today we're talking the poetry and illustrations in the book Jazz Day, The Making of a Famous Photograph. And I'm talking with author Roxanne Orgill and illustrator Francis Vallejo. And here's a little bit about the book Jazz Day, which is based on the iconic photograph A Great Day in Harlem. What happens when you invite as many jazz musicians as you can to pose for a photo in 1950s Harlem? Playful verse and glorious artwork capture an iconic moment for American jazz. When Esquire magazine planned an issue to salute the American jazz scene in 1958, graphic designer Art Kane pitched a crazy idea. How about gathering a group of beloved jazz musicians and photographing them? He didn't own a good camera, didn't know if any musicians would show up, and insisted on setting up the shoot in front of a Harlem brownstone. Could he pull it off? In a captivating collection of poems, Roxanne Orgill steps into the frame of Harlem 1958, bringing to life the musicians' mischief and quirks, their memorable style, and the vivacious atmosphere of a Harlem block full of kids on a hot summer's day. Francis Vallejo's vibrant, detailed, and wonderfully expressive paintings do loving justice to the larger-than-life quality of jazz musicians of the era. And I want to welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio Roxanne Orgill and Francis Vallejo. And welcome to the show. So are you both there?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Roxanne, I just want to ask you right quick a maintenance kind of question. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
You are. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, let's talk about Jazz Day. Roxanne, I want to start with you. How did this book happen for you?
Well, I was in New York, near where I live, at a party of publishing types, authors and agents and people like that. And an agent who I hadn't met before came up to me and suggested this idea for a book. Something should be done about that famous photograph. And I knew the photograph because I'd been writing about music for a long time, and I knew the photograph, and I happened to have seen the documentary about it and read a book about it. But that didn't mean I knew right away what to write about it or how to do it. So I tried a lot of different things before I landed on the poems that became this book. That probably took almost a year to figure that out.
Ah, okay. And Francis, how were you brought into the mix?
Well, Roxanne had already had the manuscript pretty much wrapped up, and I received a cold email from the publisher saying they had seen a painting of mine of an accordion player that actually I had done many years prior, and they spoke to me about, or actually messaged me about the project and asked if I would be interested, and at which point I really would be, because I was trying to figure out my place in the art world, because I've been illustrating in a variety of genres. So this being my first book, I said absolutely, and we went from there.
Okay, so with that answer, what was it about this particular project that said, yeah, this is the one for me, to you?
I really enjoy historical opportunities and projects. My favorite illustrator is Norman Rockwell, and I just absorb everything that he has spoken about illustration, and this was something up that alley, thus up my alley, as well as I'm a huge music person. My dad was a traveling guitarist, and even though I don't play, my whole life is surrounded by music, so a historical musical story, I had to say, yeah, it was fantastic.
Right. Okay. So it just really spoke to you, and it sounds like it's something that was kind of looking for you. Say, hey, Francis, we're here for you.
and thankfully, it found me.
Right. Exactly. So let's talk about the process. So you Francis just said that Roxanne, when he came on the scene, you pretty much had the manuscript wrapped up. So was it just a matter of Roxanne, you sending, or the publisher, or somebody sending the manuscript to Francis to look at so that he could do his renderings? How did that work?
Well, yes, prior to that, I had to figure out that poems were the way to tell the story. I had to research the story. I spoke with Jonathan Kane, who is the son of the photographer, and he was able to set me straight on a lot of facts, because it's iconic. There's lots of stories that are around about the photograph, so I tried to get it right. And I had to also get the rights to the photograph, because I knew we would need to use it, to print it in the book. So they had to be on board with the project. That means they, meaning the estate of Art Kane, which is the son and his wife. And they were, fortunately. But even before that, I had to write the poems. I had to write enough poems to be able to take them and sell them to a publisher. Fortunately, I published a few books with Candlewick Press already, and I didn't even know at that point whether these were for children or adults, but I sent it to my editor at Candlewick, which is a children's publisher, and she said, "I want it. I want them. Write more. Keep going." I said, "Okay." And so I, in the end, it was about 21 poems, more or less, that I finished with. And still, there was the question of how you make these disparate poems into some kind of a story. And that's where the editor really helped a lot. The ordering them, adding a poem that wasn't there, changing things, dropping a couple, like that kind of to figure out how to tell the story of the photograph, because I think all books really have to have story. It can't just be, you know, an odd collection of poems.
Right, and that it is not. It is not just, you know, a poem, but it actually does tell a story. And you said something that intrigued me a few minutes ago, early in this answer. You said you had to figure out that poems were the right thing to use. So you were up in the air or undecided about which particular form of writing to present the work?
Yes. Oh, I should say I'd never written poetry before. And I'd come to writing through journalism. I'd been a journalist and a music critic, and then I'd written nonfiction books in a very free kind of form. So it wasn't a huge or as big a step as it sounds like to go from nonfiction, my kind of nonfiction, to poetry. But it still felt to me like a big leap. People who read it didn't see it so much. But I chose the poems worked, I think, because I was zeroing in, focusing in, kind of to use a photography term, on certain people and certain parts of the day. And so the intense form of poetry worked for that, as opposed to if I just told a straight nonfiction story, it might have been kind of laggy and boring and in spots.
Okay, so you've never written a poem before. So how did you come to write this beautiful collection of poems? Because they're beautiful, and it's poetry. For someone who had never written poetry before, you did it.
Well, thank you. I wish I would say there was some magic. I did go to a poetry workshop, a retreat, over a weekend. I thought it did horribly at it. I'm horrible at prompts where they tell you to go write about something for 20 minutes and come back with a poem. But I did do that. That was sort of my formal education, as it were. But I just sitting with the material and listening to the music, I mean, definitely jazz lends itself to thinking in terms of poetic words, I think. I don't know. That I really can't answer. It kind of happened.
Right. Okay. Yep. I understand. It's that magical thing that we can't put a name to, but it, like you said, it did happen. And so with that, you know, with you talking about the poetry, now's a good time to hear a little bit about it. And then Frances, with the poem that she speaks, I'd like you to talk about your rendering of that particular poem, if you can. So Roxanne, take it away.
Sure. This is a poem near the beginning when Art Kane, the photographer, has showed up on the Harlem Street and is waiting for musicians to show up. They've begun to show up. There's quite a crowd gathering, and this is the second poem in the book. Some kind of formation. 126th Street on a Tuesday morning. Long time no see. Hiya, Monk. Thump, my man. Camera guys sweeping jazz men like bundles toward number 17. They don't notice. Too busy with how you been. He's shouting, rolling the times into a megaphone. Please, please get into some kind of formation. No one listens. Musicians don't hear words of instruction, only music.
Yes, I love that one. I absolutely love that one. So, Frances, let's talk about the poem from your perspective as the artist and how you were able to put to illustrate that particular poem.
Well, I would need a couple of your programs to fully explain this picture. This was one of the most complicated illustrations that I've worked on. It was one of the first scenes of the actual brownstone that the famous photo was taken in front of, so that had to be historically accurate. Which involved me making a trip to Harlem at the beginning of the project to take reference photography of the area just to make sure everything was accurate, as well as this poem suggests that there's going to be a large crowd of people, which there is. I think if you actually count all the folks in this picture, there's about 68 people, musicians interspersed with children, a number of historically accurate cars. So on paper, looking at the prompt for this, I'm like, okay, oh boy, what am I getting into? And that was a running theme just because most of this book involved me illustrating crowds. So I had to figure out how to do that effectively because, you know, in a project like this, it's a commercial project with a deadline. I couldn't sit there and spend 10 months illustrating a crowd. Actually, my final renderings took about 2 days. But the research beforehand was rather extensive as far as the values are concerned. And what I mean when I say that is the organization of the light and dark on the scene. If I know this is a radio program, so they can't see anything. So in the bottom of the illustration is where the type is going to be. So I had to leave that open. And if you actually look at the scene, all of the perspective lines of the building all point towards Art Kane, who is, of course, the focus of the scene, as well as all of the main colors in the scene are all focused on Art Kane, and all of the supplementary details, like the crowds in the background and the building and such, those are really grouped together. So I spent forever making it incredibly detailed, and in the end, I kept it as simple as possible. And for me, that was a battle.
Right. Yeah. I can see how that would happen. And I'm going to jump ahead to one of my other questions, I think. Not from a standpoint. Sorry, talking to myself. But obviously, the photograph is A Great Day in Harlem was the inspiration for the poetry, Roxanne. But And you mentioned a little bit about this earlier. How did you break down the event of the photograph in its parts to come up with the various themes for the poems? Because you read formation. You've got formation about, you know, some kind of formation about, you know, trying to bring everybody together. There is the poem Early. That's from Art Kane's perspective about waiting for the musicians to arrive. And then you have the poem So Glad from Milt Funk Hinton, poetry from these different perspectives.
Sure. Well, part of the research involved finding out as much about the day as I could from different people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, you brought up Milt Hinton, the bassist. He was an amateur photographer at the time, and this was very early on, and then he became quite famous for his photographs. And but this was early on, but he had cameras, and he brought them to the shoot. And there's a book that accompanies the documentary, and a lot of his photos are in that. And so I knew that so he had his camera. So that to me suggested a poem could come out of that. That's one story. Another story, I knew I, because at some point I did know it was a kid's book, so I knew I would have to get some kids in there, into the text, into the poems. And I knew that one of the boys had taken Count Basie's hat as a prank and run with it. So, hey, that's a poem. I knew that Thelonious Monk was late, and they sent a taxi for him and that waited outside his apartment on the west side for quite a while he figured out what to wear. Good story, right? A couple things, it's pretty much nonfiction, but a couple I made up. One that I really like, and I love Francis's illustration for it, is that in some of the photos, not the famous one, but there were many other photos taken that day by Art Kane and some other photographers, and one of them had a girl leaning out of a window looking down. So I gave her a poem called At the Window and imagined what she might be thinking. So that was the fictional part coming out. So kind of like that. Oh, and one guy missed the photo altogether. He was actually almost the oldest, not quite the oldest man. His name is Willie the Lion Smith. And he went and sat down on the next stoop because he got tired, because it took hours and hours. It was at least 4 hours or 5 hours before it was all over, and it was a hot August day. So he went and sat down on a stoop and missed the photograph altogether. So that, to me, said poem. Unlike that. So some of them, most of them were stories connected with the day. And then there was the through story of how Art Kane would get this photograph under these kind of extenuating circumstances, and there was a lot of serendipity. And then a couple of things I just invented.
Okay. Great. Francis, I want to say that I like that when I look at the illustrations, I can feel or sense the motion and the movement of the moment, and I love that is that technique that you put there. Was that something that you and Roxanne or you and the publisher discussed, or is that just your style, or is that what the subject matter called for and you just brought it to light?
Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate that's what you took from them. One of my biggest priorities with this project and just my art in general is I want you to be able to hear my work. Music is such a massive influence. I mean, this morning I had a playlist for washing the dishes and then a playlist for reading my emails. So I think every musician wants to be a painter, an artist, and every artist wants to be a musician. I think it goes hand in hand. So the fact that there is the musicality in a static image, I 100% try to go for, and probably is a unplanned result of having the music playing in my ears while I'm doing the final marks. The bounce of the trumpet is literally causing my brush to move at a certain pace, and I do think the audience can catch that. As an interesting note with this book is that prior to accepting the project, I had only worked in black and white, mainly in comics and storyboards, for about 4 years, and I hadn't used color at all. So I was I was really afraid and curious on what my paintings would look like, as much as probably the publisher was curious how they would look. I didn't know how they would look. I did reference a lot of paintings and illustrators from the 50s and 60s, partly because that's when the story took place, but partly because that's really my favorite illustration from that time. And it all came together how it did. I have to give credit to my friend Dustin, an animator, because I initially sent him color studies, and it was very muted. And he basically called me a nincompoop, in other words, and said I can do a, he said I could do a lot better than that. He really wanted to push me in the color, and I was really holding back, and he was absolutely right. So I sort of went in there and then really played with a lot of saturation and vibrant colors, which I think resulted in a better product and a more jazz-influenced look to it.
Right, definitely, definitely. And it really helps everything jump off of the page, because like I said, you can sense the motion, you can sense the movement, and like you said, you can hear the music of the musicians in the background. It's gorgeous. And so how did you all stay focused? Did you keep the photograph in front of you? Like, Francis, you said you had music going all the time. But did you both have the photograph and music going to keep your focus on the direction that you wanted to move in?
Go ahead, Roxanne.
I would just say that I can't write to music at all. I wish I could. It's too distracting. I can't listen to music and write. And I couldn't do that. So I'd have to, you know, stop writing, listen to the music, make a few notes, go back. Totally separate. But I did. I kept looking at the photograph over and over and over. And when I would get stuck, I would just look at the photograph and say, what else is in here? What else is going on? What did I miss? Again and again. How about you, Francis?
Yeah. I at one point, though, I can listen to music, particularly in the final paintings. When I'm doing a lot of thinking and trying to organize the early inceptions of the picture, not as much, although there's a lot of jazz without lyrics, so I can use that. Lyrics do throw me off a bit. An interesting thing, too, is that before I went onto the project, you know, obviously Roxanne did very extensive research, and those materials weren't necessarily conveyed to me, because in the publishing world, a lot of times the authors don't work directly with the illustrators during the creation of the project, which I learned. On my own, I did a lot of extensive research, and I think, and we haven't talked about this, but I would imagine that me and Roxanne, once we would compare our visual notes, it would be about the same, because I started to track down pictures and sequences of pictures that I noticed stories in, and I could say, Roxanne, I see where you got this story. So by keeping all of that around me, sort of like a method actor stays in a role as an artist, I really stayed surrounded by the pictures from that time, because that was a benefit. If I was illustrating Vikings, I wouldn't have a video of Vikings, right? But we had the big fortune of having videos and photographs from the event, which allowed us and me to be really thorough in the representation of it.
Right. It's interesting that you all pretty much worked separately, but the totality of the project is so together, if you know what I mean.
Yes, it is, because, you know, In the past with other illustrators, I have sometimes suggested or even sent a box of materials, research materials, once I sent it to an artist and never even heard thank you. So I've kind of given up with that. I could, but if Francis has asked, I would have deluged him. But it is so separate. And I think that that's the publisher does that and the staff does that because they want to make the marriage of author and illustrator. They want to shape the book. I don't mean this in some kind of totalitarian way, but it does become a collaboration among not just the author and illustrator, but among the staff who's working on the book. And I have to give them a lot of credit for bringing the book together, that what you see, that because it is so smooth. And the art director had the brilliant idea to do what's called a gatefold, which is you fold out the original Harlem 1958 picture. It kind of, when the photographer clicks the camera, takes the picture, you, the reader, folds that out. And that was her idea, and it was just brilliant.
Yes, definitely.
So
definitely.
It's a collaboration.
Yeah, it's a beautiful collaboration. Francis, this is a big weekend for you, and you're making some rounds around the city with the book. Tell us where you'll be for book signings and book discussions.
I will be at the Source Booksellers in Midtown Detroit, signing some copies of the books and drawing in the books from 3 to 5 p.m., and you can check that out and more details at let me see here, is it the Source Booksellers or Source Booksellers, one of the two?
Source Booksellers.
Sourcebooksellers.com. And I am really looking forward to that. I covered the city with flyers, so even hopefully maybe you might see one of my flyers around town. That was pretty fun.
Very good. And will you be at the jazz festival at all with the book?
I will. I'm working out what times, but that's looking to be after the signing on Saturday the 3rd.
Okay.
At around 6 p.m., I'll be at Eric's booth, I believe Eric's frame-up, signing copies of jazz and just enjoying the Jazz Fest.
Good, very good. Thank you so much, both of you. And before we go, would you both please just let people know your website so people can go to where you are and try to follow you and get the book? Francis, let's start with you. Your website, please.
It's my name, Francis Vallejo, FrancisVallejo.com, and that has all my information there.
Okay, and Roxanne?
Mine is RoxanneOrgill.net. And I guess the thing to remember is my first name is Roxanne with one N, Orgill,
right.
O-R-G-I-L-L, .net.
Right, right. Very good. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Roxanne Orgill and Francis Vallejo, unfortunately our time is up, but I have so enjoyed this conversation. It was wonderful for me because I'm an art lover. I'm a jazz lover particularly, so even though we're talking about a children's book, as an adult who loves the photograph first off and loves music and art, I like reading it and looking at the pictures. So thank you. I appreciate you both.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for inviting us. Bye-bye.
All right. You are so welcome. Bye-bye. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com. And we're on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff. And this has been Andrea Daniels for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there so much for listening in. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. I do appreciate you all for being there. Have a good rest of your day and live a good story. And have a good, safe Labor Day holiday. Good night, everybody. Until next week.